I'd like to welcome everybody from No Borders Radio. Good evening.
Simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
So it is. Monday, May the 27th, 2013. Greetings and welcome to Journeys with JP, your tour guide into discovery this evening. Tonight, we are also joined by a new radio station, which is called No Borders Radio, based here in Scotland, and we'll be simulcasting with Wolf Spirit Radio. And of course, we are here on Revolution Radio Studio B. And each one of these has a chat room, and I'm going to try and monitor them all. But that's basically three chat rooms. So I've got the Wolf Spirit and Revolution one just coming up on my screen here, and I'll bring in the Scottish Sovereigns. So welcome everybody, and tonight. I'm very honoured and pleased to have a dear friend of mine and amazing general all around genius, Chrononaut, time traveller, time space tunnel traveller, expert on Linux. What more can I say? There is only one William Stillings. Good evening.
Evening, JP. Thanks.
You know, go ahead.
No, that's an excellent introduction. I'm not so great on Linux, believe me.
You're better than me. You're my upline, man. You're my upline. Sorry. So, what was I going to say? There was something on the tip of my tongue, but that just got completely derailed.
I found a great way to relax and vent on Skype chat.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Is a good way? Go ahead.
I think you you got to read some of that.
I don't think I can read it on the air because that's exactly the thing. You know, I think you basically, if you were to have spoken in your natural dialect, then. And if you'd have edited it out, that's what the outtakes would have looked like.
Basically.
Yeah. You kind of sent them back in time onto paper.
Well, you almost can't even read the newspaper on Monsanto genetic food alterations. You got that last one on the cucumber ones. That's a little... it's that you can't say that on the air.
No, not at all.
But it's in the LA Times. That's a wow. Yeah, that's you know, how can you say the Brazilian cut is very fashionable with Monsanto cucumbers this year. he is Brazilian today.
Oh yes.
You know what's disturbing about that is that the test subjects that are suing said that they lost hair in just a little over a day after the food tests.
And presumably they were just using cucumbers in the regular fashion.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They weren't doing anybody in royalty from England type things. They were literally eating this food. The Monsanto cucumbers, and ironically, had lost only hair in the pubic area.
Wow.
Isn't that just Monsanto special.
That is very, very special.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is my audio good?
It's perfect. Your audio is the best it's ever been because William, you are a Linux genius.
No.
You know how to speak Linux. I can say hello and goodbye. And two more beers, please.
I do not.
But that's about as far as my Linux goes.
Go on to history.
You know how to order a whole meal and go to a library.
That's funny. Hey, the internet's free at the library. Is basically what I'd probably be doing soon. We have a. I don't know if we have the lineup of surprise guests. I probably don't. It's Memorial Day. I would like to give a Memorial Day salute to a lot of the founding fathers and the soldiers that have been in industry and fought the war. I'll have to admit, but I would like to give recognition to Willie McCool, who was the Shuttle Columbia pilot, who perished with his six crew members back in 2003. He was a good friend and a fellow explorer, even though we did not go to the same place at the same time. It is almost a certainty that he had, but that class that we will be talking about on today's show was and could have been geared inadvertently for other things. Willie McCool is certainly a national hero, along with my father and Raymond F. Pishago and quite a few others. There's just a multitude of people who have been in industry and have fought the good war and have kept the availability of windows or doors for productivity open for a lot of good people that do not know what is in industry.
That was very revealing and yet completely cloaked. as is its wont in this kind of what they call the shadowy world of black operations and the military industrial complex industry, which this is what you're referring to as industry, is the military industrial complex, isn't it?
Yes. My father has a blank plaque at the agency, at the CIA and at DOD, and quite a few other places too.
That's like waiting for him to pass on. No?
Well, it's
sorry, it's, I don't get the reference of a blank plaque.
Well, it's just a gold little plaque with without the name etched where the name's supposed to be, for people that served recognition that can't be publicly recognized. So, there's a lot of blank plaques at the CIA headquarters in El Segundo and in the Department of Defense in Virginia.
I understand. So. And you were kind of born into this world, and you know, well, let's talk about this project that you were part of. Can we?
Yes.
And this was, you know, this is the class that you mentioned earlier. Now, these are things that happen presumably during the summer holidays.
Is well, right? Actually, no. Well, yes, and I mean, no. A lot of the class was a while school was out, a summer vacation, in part. But school had picked up for me. I was already a week into school when I started in 1980, But things started picking up for a lot of my activities.
How old were you in 1980?
I was 13 years old.
You were 13. And how tall were you?
I'm going to give a vague non-answer to that. I was around 5 foot tall.
Uh-huh. You know, kid size. That is a significant thing, isn't it?
Yeah, these questions I know are going to get brutal today.
Oh, no. I'm not going to roast you hard. Just a little bit of grilling, Mr. Silling. So look,
I've had a little bit of forewarning on this day, especially when you announced the show. Mm. We are supposed to be, we're Revolution Radio, correct?
This is Revolution Radio, yeah. So anything that you say must indeed be revolutionary.
Yes. We'll start off that with I've seen Barry Satoru naked.
And does he have a mole anywhere?
Left side.
Left side. Okay. Thank you very much. So...
This is not going to be boring.
People are going to have to listen to this several times to understand what we're talking about. But here's the thing, that when you were this age, in, did you say 1980? I'm just trying to think what I was doing in 1980. I was 19. I was still at my mum's house. Anyway, so in 1980, presumably this came in because all your dads were industry, and where do you get test subjects from? You know, your own family. Okay. So, because everybody's an asset, eh?
Yeah. We're paid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go for labels today.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. I've had a little too much coffee. I think the Queen of England will come up in a picture soon.
Oh yes, well she's got to. But anyway, before she rears her ugly, let's. So you're in this class that you went in the summer, okay, and. When you went back to school, did you remember what happened in the summer? Or is this?
Oh, of course. That was just, I was just processing what I heard, but things happened so quickly. I didn't have much time to not process it. I mean, I had already processed already, or is it in the middle of processing? Go back to 1978, 1977, 78. I was working with my father. We were going out to places out in Sylmar and Pasadena and near El Segundo, not quite to El Segundo. And I was going into a room and. Being directed to run into a wall, basically close my eyes the first time and run forward into the wall. My father says it, I do it. Other people cannot fake this because, you know, during 2013, that's quite a different story.
Yeah, 13-year-olds are a lot less obedient than they were in the 80s. So you ran into the, your dad said run into that wall, and you ran into that wall, and what happened next?
Well, we were on the second floor in the middle, basically a building, just off to a side room. There was lab equipment, but very minimal, just the slate type. Tops with the, you know, the gas pipes and, you know, for the pipettes and stuff. And,
as you get a school laboratory with benches and Bunsen burners, you know.
So I was on the second floor of a building, and when I ran through, after exceeding the distance of the wall, I ended up outside someplace in the middle of the desert.
Oh, wow.
A building off to the right. And, that was my one, basically my first, teleportation experience.
So, can you recall what the wall looked like in front of you?
Yeah, it was a wall. It had a device surrounding it, but it was just the top part was showing, and it looked like more like decorative ornament than a kind of. There's a little bit of Fibonacci, but it actually did have a sharp corner on it, which was kind of odd, you know, knowing the technology, but that was at the top. But the memory is so fleeting as to what I saw. I just remember the hum that the wall hummed, and I ran towards the wall.
What kind of hum was it? Or the hum?
Just a little bit lower.
Uh-huh. Just like a kind of mains hum thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a low tone hum.
Yeah.
And so that was basically my first teleporting experience. I was teleporting basically all over the country, picking up paperwork and stuff, all sorts of things. Things things we just don't say. I got my passport early because, just like anybody else, industry or not, when you teleport out of the country, which no place on earth are you going to really teleport over one and three quarter seconds. Time is indistinguishable from distance. But nowhere on Earth, even though light goes around the Earth seven times a second, there's spongy delays when teleporting. It can exceed, you know, more than a couple seconds, you know, if you're held in wave for awaiting an available teleporter to receive you. That's not unheard of, but basically the general rule is on Earth you're not going to teleport over 1.25 seconds.
Is that what it takes to travel the distance to the other side of the planet?
Yeah, well, light will, you know, you're going at light speed, basically.
Uh-huh.
But when you teleport, there's a conversion factor and being converted more into a wave for teleporting and blah, 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 blah in the physics, and it comes out to about 1.25 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
So, during this 1.25 seconds, can you describe the feeling?
Yeah, you're being converted into a wave. There's it was very difficult to really. I knew what I was feeling, but it was so quick, and you didn't feel much of anything. I mean, in fact, when I first went through, My father behind me when we were outside in the desert said, "You can open your eyes now." And I was still running and stopped. And I'm getting punished as we talked. I know my father knows it. He knows this. This is, you know, TT intel. It sounds like gibberish to most people. That's fine. They can live with gibberish.
That's what I say. If, you know, you could listen to this quite a few, you might need to watch a few novels, read a few novels and stuff. But, a lot of the language that you use, is, condensed, shorthand, macro kind of language. That means an awful lot. So sometimes I like to, you know, really break down the sort of things that you speak about, because the level of understanding is on such a high level, that a small short phrase like TT, you know, becomes, you can unpack that into turning gravity into a wave, being turned into a gravity wave and being transmitted, time travel.
To TT forward or time travel forward, you have to accelerate, say accelerate electrons or whatever, and deaccelerate the app, but there's variations. There's contingencies in going into the past. It's a much more involved, more difficult technology, which hence they had to, people going into the past had to do via plasma confinement. And, where they are there witnessing the event, the people in the past are witnessing those people visiting, and there are participation in that event, but there are certain variations of rules and stuff, but we'll just keep it linear and just go with pretty much the easier stuff.
Because time's
anyways.
Yeah, time's not linear. It's not a linear thing, and that's why... to think about it. Yeah.
I mean, that's why I say that, because it is and it isn't, and it's very much a multiverse, and past, present, and future happen simultaneously. We keep it linear, and that's just what people do. But we'll keep it very very easy to understand technology. Going forward in time, mostly. There's other people that I could talk about past, but anyways, I was teleporting, going from point A to point B very quickly. One thing that I didn't pick up on until getting to class in 1980 during that time was that when you teleport long distance, you get very thirsty. Is drawn out of your body and sent back to a time domain or returned to creation, very much like a gravity generator or over unity device would inductively draw a free electron. As the lights go out when the round vehicle or UFOs hovering over somebody's house, blah blah blah. 1970s, 1980s. And
have they improved that technology since then?
We're not going to go there either, sir.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty basic, simple. It's just considerations. Gray's listened to my father and became a little bit more considerate.
Oh. Really? Really? That's interesting.
And running around across the country doing things, getting things done. 1980 came, and I came into what was known, or what is known, as the Mars Colonization Program. Mars Colonization Program was for us as civilians. We're going to Mars, teleporting, colonizing Mars, being a part of Mars, and teleporting. Teleporting to Mars and making at least a part of Mars the 51st state of the United States. This was done. Did this in 1980, I made the Navy rank of lieutenant at age 13, 14. That was given to me at age 24. The class participants in that class, in their class, in my class, were Andrew D. Bishago. He's very credible, very well known lawyer, several master's degrees from Cambridge and from UCLA. He is a lawyer out of Seattle. His father, who worked at Parsons, Raymond F. Bishago, my father, Tom Stillings, who worked for Bendix, Honeywell, Lockheed Skunk Works, DOD agency company, and a few others. Boy, now here's the pain. We're going to have to pick up this thing that, because it's going to kill me.
Was that too much information? Well,
the other class participants, Regina, yeah. Elvira Dugan, Red, I love. She's awesome. She's a former head of DARPA, now over at Google. Barry Satoru, who very much looks like Barack H. Abomination.
He's your
White House.
What do you call him? Yeah, Great Satan. That's right. Yeah. So
no. I never said that. Remember, my PayPal is William Stillings at Gmail.
No. Go on. Give it out.
And that was that class was taught by. By the renowned remote viewer, the variation of a multiverse timeline, Ed Dames, who very much could have been a multi-dimensional variation inclusive into our reality that Ed Dames taught the class, although three people recall. Ed Dames, but that is very much a very possibility that Ed Dames was a multiverse dimensional inclusion into our reality.
That's very intriguing. Are you saying that some people remember a different teacher in the class and another group remembers Ed Dames as the teacher in the class? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that to this at this point.
What are you saying? What can you say? That a very
possible multi-dimension or multiversal dimension or a different variation in the multiverse that Ed Dames was the teacher that we recall, which apparently also shows up on film with negatives, but. I can't find those, but what I can find are some other things. I'm just saying that it is possible that it might not have been the Ed Dames that we know in this reality.
Yeah, because I have a, you know, because you say all these things, and every sentence you say sparks off about three or four questions, right? For instance, one question is, if you're traveling into the future and you come back, how do you know you've come back to the same...
You just do. You just do.
Is there a sort of sense of reset, normal, this is home kind of thing?
Yeah, I've had... There's some things personal in my life. I'm not going to cover those insecurity questions. I call those insecurity questions, and I'm not going to touch on those topics. But what I will say is when I went forward 4 years forward, or TT'd, time traveled forward, I read about the Fukushima disaster. I TT'd or to 2011 from 2007 or so. And I wrote about the nuclear reactors blown up, and the kind of suggestive and very suggestive, and wrote about the piles of housing timber, and included a very distinctive series of numbers at the bottom. It was actually the date. I missed the date by one day. I put March 12th, 2000. 11. I wrote it numerically with my social, but that was removed from the original blog. I wrote about the Fukushima disaster in 2007, titled it Japan Earthquake 2011. I very much returned to my time frame to point to, you know, even Alpha for that matter. And wrote about it. No, I did not cause Fukushima. I did not go to Japan. I stayed what I kind of jokingly referred to as a non-local event. I stayed geographically local, and I read about it in the paper. I took inventory of what was around me as far as, you know, people, and that means like people, you know, and the scene and scenarios, and I lost a little bit of time in between the duck pond and getting back. That was about it. I will say though, when I felt the field, I very instinctually started running.
So hang on a second. It's like, all right, Luke, you felt the field. Yeah. There's a, no, so
you're venomous.
Venomous.
I'm going to make you seriously sit up and watch 10 hours of YouTube gerbils humping video. I can say that FCC regulation.
Yeah. Humping is fine. Humping is fine. Gerbils is fine. So, right now, where was I?
I want to really just avoid. Today is just not the day for.
You don't do much precision.
Theoretical or all right. Call mental masturbation.
I was just wanting a bit of.
That's a word too. You can say that on FCC.
You can. Riding the FCC rules. All right. So okay. Where were we? We
got a helicopter in a place we don't get helicopters.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so you traveled forward in time to what I might imagine you were saying is like a familiar place, like, you know, the Walmart down the road, you know, a really ordinary place, and it had been spiffed up, from what I remember you speaking about this.
A little bit.
Yeah.
There was a variations that actually I researched in myself, and actually corroborated my own testimony in 2010 to Andrew Pashago and quite a few other people, and in fact emailed it to a lot of people. but Andrew Pashago asked me about things that I remember, and I said that it was very odd that they put the newspapers on the outside of the Starbucks, because they always kept the newspapers inside, and it was the only time that I ever saw them outside. But when I got to the location, about reading about the event of Fukushima, was that that for one, I knew everyone in Starbucks, everyone, they knew me very well. There wasn't a single person working there, and they were in shift change, and there was about twice as many people that were normally there, and not a single person was in there that I knew. I recognized one person that was a person that worked there that was actually a customer sitting out in plain clothes outside, who was very notably taller than previously, than the previous day, like grown. And there was a lot of kids worked at the Starbucks. And so I kind of the place was a little bit more cleaned up and a little bit more organized than it had been before. I stayed outside and then just kind of recollected my thoughts, like, oh yeah. And I went back to researching, and you know, I read up the events, and that was the event that I was, in answer to my questions a couple previous days, that I wanted to know what the F was going on, and my life is very affected, and needed answers. And Fukushima was one of the major life-changing events, more so than people know. More so than, like, all life in the ocean has died and just doesn't know it yet. But so it's a tug of.
This is like a historical marker moment for the planet, yeah. Let alone the human race.
Yeah, Chernobyl, horrifically bad, and also done so, or you know, you might say hoped for by people in the background, but the Fukushima, you know, with the water and the ocean, is, you know, just beyond that. It's just, you know, it's you know, Georgia Guidestones. How do you reduce population to 500 million when people are smart enough to not die off or kill themselves off, or I hope I don't. I mean, really, you know, and they get on a round vehicle and they leave planet for a while without taking GMO Monsanto tomatoes with you.
Exactly.
And I like to just cucumbers. Say real quick.
You say it.
Oh, I got feedback. Yeah, I like to get just a little message out there to people. Is seriously, in every way, shape, and form, even though GMO you're not to really eat anyways, stay away from the tomatoes, specifically April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Everyone hear me? Chant it with me. Stay away from the tomatoes. All right, back to the show.
And now, here's Will with the weather. So stay.
Okay. We have clear skies. The weather is 78 degrees Fahrenheit. And we have a low cast coming in at around 8 p.m. tonight. It'll be a little chillier than previous days. And we'll be around 62 degrees. Back to you, JP.
You know, Will, it's scary the way you're good at that. You know, have you ever thought about, you know, just wandering up to the local radio station and saying, okay, yeah, can I?
Well, I do that. They
go.
I do that. They send me the email back and they say, get real. And it's like, so I'm on the internet.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. So anyway, you got a great voice. You got you know, and you do the voice, you do those voice. Maybe a spoof one. Maybe you could do it for a spoof group. You know, who need that voice?
Hi, I'm Charles Atkins, and we're going to go talk to the Queen of England.
And you could write the material as well.
No, probably not. I'd start tripping myself up, and people would be like, you know, throw them out. Security. I get, you know, especially not during this time, I get so much street theater, it's not even funny. I mean, I get so many people, I mean, you know, going to the store, you get those people that just kind of try and street theater stuff, and you know, it's like, no, look up, lady, that's a camera, it would very clearly show that you're making something up. And then they wait for you outside. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. And that's industry.
That's industry. So you're saying that, you know, you're meeting people who you know are part of industry in the store, and
yeah,
they're just playing around, messing with people's heads because they know they're part of the breakaway civilization. Does everybody have a ticket? Mm-hmm. Who hasn't got a ticket, man? For the round vehicles.
I'm not going to answer that. I mean, people in their own personal life do and that are, you know and don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. But really, other people screwed it up for other people about a year ago.
Other people screwed it up for other people. I love it. I love it.
People, you're not abandoning anything. You're going on vacation. Let's get back to teleporting and the Mars colonization program.
Yeah. So meanwhile, and this project was the Mars colonization program. Was that Project Pegasus, or was Project Pegasus the one before that?
No, Project Pegasus goes back to the 60s and 70s. Andrew Bishago, when I was doing, you know, in high school. Knew that you know that he was you know, famous to some degree, that, that he was, you know, very well known. It was made clear in class by Ed Dane.
That he, in the future, he's famous.
Well, no, I mean, he was well known. He was well known in circles in agency by all of us. Back then, you know, after class, you know, he was the person that you know, basically had the most experience. I mean, he was plasma confining to the past, the Gettysburg Address. He is pictured in the famous Gettysburg Address photo that was actually very ironically taken by one of my, or that was found by one of my relatives, Josephine Cobb.
Really?
1952. Yes. Very ironic.
Very. We're all connected.
Well, JP, this show is going to get a lot more faster real quick and is going to get very much more connected. Not only did Andrew Bichago have the experience of, you know, time traveling, plasma confined back to Gettysburg Address, and lots of other places. He was basically literally the poster child for a lot of experimental stuff, and I mean experimental, I mean death-defying, life-threatening. He has major time-attached residual health issues in relation to those experimental days. Not akin, you know, not unlike the Philadelphia experiment reports. Andrew Bichago was also teleporting, and this is not only suicidally psychotic, but it's just unheard of. Round grays don't even really practice this, but he was teleporting vast distances in excess of 2,000 miles without a receiving teleporter unit on the end of it.
So he was hoping that they wouldn't drop him into the ground.
Oh my God! Oh, I explained this to him the first day I talked to him. That you know, first question I asked him, I said, "Were you leaning forward or backwards when you came out of teleporting?" And he goes, "I was leaning forward. I had to run faster to keep from falling over. How'd you know?" I said, "Well, because you were teleporting." You know, and obviously without a receiving unit being what you described. And he goes, "That's right." And, you know, and of course he becomes all questioning and inquisitive. And I kept asking, you know, telling him, I'll hang up. And, but we got to talking, and, he goes, "Well, how'd you know that?" And I said, "Well, you know, quantum entanglement and quantum spin, or the spin angle retains the same no matter the traversing of the distance. The spin angle stays the same. The Earth curves." And he goes, "That's right." And I said, I asked him, "What nut job was doing that, you know, was teleporting you without a receiving unit?" And he goes, "How do you know they're not using a receiving unit?" And I said, "Because your guys were scattered all over the place." You know, he goes, "Yeah, I know." It's he goes, "You would agree that's crazy?" And I go, "Well, it's beyond crazy. It's suicidal nuts." And and he says, and he asked again, "How did you know that I was leaning forward or backwards?" And I said, "Because of the spin angle, it stays the same, you know, no matter, you know, traversing distance, blah 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 blah." And you know, this isn't in the physics books, of course, but it should be, because it's just reality. All matter is a wave. All atoms are an over-unity device. They're a motor generator. They're attached to a time domain, which basically gives them their energy to some degree, most degree. They're a working gravity generator. All matter is a all matter is not a gravity generator, but it's gravity generator like. All matter has gravity in it. So I mean, that's you know, you got these irresponsible, crazy, sociopathic, frickin' and people that appeal or uphold these frickin' morons with master's degrees in mainstream science that regard light as a particle. you know, a 3-year-old will tell you, if light was a particle, it would break the glass going through the bulb. I mean, you need a, well, you need a $100,000 master's degree to be wrong.
This is one of the reasons I love to talk to you.
Not that having a master's degree is bad in any way, it's great. But mainstream science, good God. You got people like Masu Kaku who badmouthed Andrew Bishago publicly. You know, told him that he was crazy. And I sit there, wrote in the blog saying that Masu Kaku had only reversed himself probably within about a year. And sure enough, a year later, Masu Kaku reversed himself and completely corroborate and agree with Andrew Bishago and myself for that matter. And, you know, now, of course, a year after Masu Kaku said that teleportation was completely fictitious and crazy, only they're teleporting light now. Well, guess what? All matter's a wave. Light is a wave. The only reason why it has mass is because it's tied to a time domain, creation, fourth dimension, energy to mass event. And, you know, that's reality. You know, Masu Kaku's humongous, egotistical head, I don't think it could incorporate the paycheck that he gets to say whatever he says. It's horrible. Can we bag on the Queen later? Is anybody in chat laughing at all?
I don't know. Let me just check the chat. Is anyone listening to the show? You should be listening. This is really important stuff. It's highly encoded, and what does my lab mean?
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on from this. So, so you did all this stuff as a kid, and the reason that they chose kids is because of the size of the portal, which presumably
no. The reason why they chose kids back starting out with Project Pegasus was because when they were going to non-local events or going back into the past or, you know, via plasma confinement, the adults were collapsing the field on their belief system or whatever. They were collapsing the field, so they used kids. I mean, kids go back to 1800s and see somebody, soldier standing there with a rifle. That's a person standing in a uniform with a rifle. You send an adult that looks like a Confederate soldier, the field collapses and they're back in lab or wherever.
Oh, so it's the ability to remain in the moment.
Yes.
Without going into fear or stuff or being triggered in any way.
Right. So that's why they were using kids, and kids had a better way when trained of being quiet. And that's the good thing, actually, still me coming forward, that's very much still a good thing. Yeah. That's, you know, industry. You know, it's, getting a couple laughs in, sitting in front of the TV with my mom in the room saying I teleported, and she just kind of laughing that I just blurted out something random, and dad saying, oh, it was on TV just a minute ago, and we're just getting a, you know, kind of a good laugh, and she was married to my father, and she knew things were going on, but she had no idea. She had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I teleported to Mars. First time was pretty quick in 1980. It was like 5 minutes. Second time was 1981. It was like 16, 17 minutes. That was August, September. 82 was, I think that was, around December or January. I think that was the 82 trip. That was like 14 minutes. 1983 was about 10 minutes. There's a couple jumps, but, I almost think it's a, it was the same year, but have no clue. 84 was there was a very memorable party year trip where there was four people in the teleporter. That was out of El Segundo, at the Howard Hughes Building, 999 North Sepulveda Boulevard, that Andrew Bisciaga revolutionarily remembered. I would have, I knew it was by an airport. I wouldn't have remembered enough to even pick the building, or I knew I would have picked across the street. That's definite, because I knew the drive up when we went to the El Segundo CIA headquarters and drove up street, and I remember we went out, you know, made a right onto the street and drove straight up the street, and the building was right there. And that was the location. And we teleported, for, you know, Andrew Bisciaga, Courtney Hunt, and myself, teleported all at once. And, that was an 8-minute trip. I mean, because quite simply, if Mars was 16 minutes away, only one person could teleport at one time. There wasn't enough air to teleport more than really one person. And when it was 16, 17, 20 minutes out, ooh, you know, you were trained to breathe, you know, very relaxed and shallow. And that was just fact. I mean, when you teleported, the elevator door would close, a blast of air would come in, from a fan, and it would cram as much fresh air as it could. And then the lighting would go off overhead, and then the side inductively shielded lighting, which was behind like a microwave grid, you know, 1 millimeter. Inductively shielded lighting system would come on that was reseated in the wood paneling. That would come on, and you would have lighting when you teleported. There was a series of indication that you would give to teleport to the person that would send you on your way. And, you know, you would teleport, and things would get distorted. You would get kind of a purplish, pinkish kind of swirl. The walls would become very uniform. One of the notable things was that the elevator door ceased being a door; that it just became very uniform and just like the wall around it. And basically, in physics, you're encased in a cylindrical field, and you and the elevator were sent on your way. Sort of the elevator. The floor would no longer be the floor beneath you. You'd be standing on something. You would feel it, but you would see further than your feet. And, you kind of get a disorientation to where at times you would almost kind of fall over or lean forward. I got disoriented on the longer trip and almost fell over, and I went and took my left hand and pushed off the wall, which was swirling, kind of, and found out that it was safe and all right to do that.
All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how I found out.
Yeah.
I couldn't help. I fell over, and I was going to fall over, and that's when I found out that was safe to do that. And when at the end of the trip, the ceiling fan came on, which I don't recall coming on other previous trips. But when it came on that trip, but on the 1981 trip, we got. This is Revolution Radio, and when we come back, we're going to hear more of William Stillings with JP.
JPYourTourGuide.com, and we'll be right back after this message. Hello, Nighthawk here. Do you like getting down to the bone, getting the real truth? Well, right here, Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, is the place to be. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where you will meet Carrie Cassidy from Whistleblower Radio, where she has in-depth interviews with some of the most prominent whistleblowers of our time. And that's why they call it Whistleblower Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you there Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I got to know the truth, Charlie.
Truth is for suckers, Johnny boy.
A dark crisis rises of apocalyptic proportion. A desperate race against time to control the truth is fought between man and those who feel they are above them. Will you perceive what is real before it is too late for you? Join me, Steve Travesty, on Project Redmond. We will discuss all angles of our world's mysteries to get to the bottom of the puzzle we call life. Wednesday, 8 to 10 Eastern.
That's 8 to 10 Eastern Time, Revolution Radio Studio B, where information never sleeps.
The Empire is in peril.
You're probably too young to know, but the Empire is always in some kind of peril.
I may have been overly rude earlier when I called you a pirate.
I may have been overly charitable when I said I wasn't.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Be here Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to catch Roxy Lopez straight from the Valley of the Sun. Her discussions run from chemtrails to sovereignty, aliens to conspiracy facts. So join us for The Truth Denied with Roxy Lopez. Again, that's Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
You ever get tired of being called? Talk to the future!
You know what the difference is between you and me?
I make this look good.
Join the Sacred Matrix with hosts Janet Kirilesan and Dr. Sasha Lesson, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Revolution Radio.
Here we free ourselves from the God spell, transform the perverted matrix to the divine one. We become conscious, and we embrace universal, unlimited love.
We feature colorful guests and topics such as extraterrestrials, ghosts, interdimensionals, and aliens. We examine evidence, anomalies, archaeological ruins, and anthropology.
We explore past lives, future lives, life between lives. We get into astral projection, near-death experiences, archetypes, visions, and dreams.
Episodes include time travel, teleportation, counseling, spirituality, tantra, relationships, peace, shamanism, peak experiences, and ego transcendence.
Join the lessons Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com for The Sacred Matrix, a divine paradigm of love.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it, Gunner.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps. Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to Journeys with JP. I am JP, your host, and I'm speaking tonight with Will Stillings, William Stillings, Brett Stillings. He's known by many names, but there is only one Mr. Stillings. How are you, sir?
Hi, JP.
You got any coffee?
I do.
You have enough? People, please buy Will coffee. Buy him coffee. Send him
a
token.
Coffee. I got echo.
Yeah, you get echo. If you say something loud, it'll come through my speakers and you'll hear it. That's the way. So right.
I love that. I love the advertisement that they said. What was the thing about time travel and the teleportation? What a bunch of kooks. It's like, you know what's disturbing, and I have to vent. I've been so patient and so good.
You are. You have been very, very good. I have to tell everybody that Will has a need to say things sometimes, and he's managed to concentrate them all in the past in a chat box. But all right, on you go. We'll see if we can move the next slot into the future. So that
well. They promote on one of the advertisements, and a great show, guaranteed. Carrie Cassidy, everybody tuning, great show. What I am disappointed to say, and these are her words, that no, I don't believe you in Andrews Bashaga's story. And this is where this all comes from. And I said, oh, well, you'd have to tell the negatives and the pictures that too. And she goes, well, that's another thing. Can I see those? I say, ma'am, you need to believe first. And that is on, you know, you're the only person that can make you do that. And, you know, I can't make you believe. But if you don't, then if you don't already, then really there's no need to even be involved in the conversation. I mean, you hold a time traveler's round table. Fantastic. And of all people, you didn't invite Andrew Bashago? Are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding. The guy's pictured in the Gettysburg Address photo, November 19th, 1863. He's the kid in the forefront. In fact, it's the only person in the picture that has a completely erased, blurred out face. Even the people that are close to the camera have facial detail. Andrew does not have any facial detail. The people in the background, crystal clear. Crystal clear. Certainly, the kid is standing there with a 1970s haircut, with long bangs, which nobody really had in the 80s, and his foot sticking out like he was trying to emulate a stance and stuff, and completely out of place. And of all the people she doesn't invite to a round table, I told Andy right there when he mentioned that he wasn't going to do the round table thing. I'm like, why not? And she goes, well, because she didn't invite me. I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get off the phone. I'm going to go take a morning after pill and probably do a self-abortion or something, and I'll call you back. And basically the conversation just died there. I was in complete disbelief. And it was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. We have people. We have Laura Eisenhower coming forward talking about the Mars colonization program. We have Mary Jean Eisenhower. We have a Admiral Stansfield. People like that. Regina E. Dugan. Barry Satoro, current pretend acting president of the United States, for all listed liability, at least during 2008-2012, was not the president of the United States, and it was a default, well, if he's not president, he can't be blamed. There's the FEMA camp ever to Colorado. And, you know, whether he is now or not, you know, are they dancing? I don't see any evidence of them dance. Oh, that's right. He doesn't have his birth certificate presented yet. To clear up the, investigations that we did in the early 90s, Barry Satoro, aka Barack H. Obama, the nation, is not related to, Martin Luther King. He is the son of
not Malcolm X.
No, he is not the son of Malcolm X.
Yeah, that
one. Sorry, what did I say?
You said Martin Luther King.
Oh my gosh.
No. He's really not the son of Martin Luther King. But,
well, he's not.
And not, you know, anyway, so. Yeah.
Sorry. I went dyslexic on that. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's okay. But, maybe. Are you tired? I mean, do you need a break?
Yeah.
You know,
no, I'm good. I'm good. Well, yeah. He's not the son of Malcolm X.
No.
He is the son of Mr. Davis. His father passed away a long time ago. When he approached me one time, I'm going to omit. I'm sorry. I have to limit myself due to legalities, and I'm sorry this kills radio, but I'm sorry.
That's okay. Cassidy. We understand, but we can talk about Gary if you like.
Oh, let's talk about Gary.
Go on. I have to say, you know, my attitude towards everybody. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all trying to do stuff. Everybody's got stuff. You know, some people have had a really hard life. Some people have had a really weird life. Some people haven't had a weird or a hard life, but are still weird. Everybody's got stuff. You know, we've all got our burdens, and you know, everybody has their own sharp edges. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Here's what I wrote to, let me read it real quick what I wrote to Carrie.
Go on.
Carrie, remember in 2003, I described something to her where I basically went to, and I said, now I know Project Camelot did not form until about 2006-2007, and YouTube basically wasn't really around, but in 2003, and I said, keep that in mind, even though you probably didn't have an office or don't, I visited you in your office in Simi Valley, right off of Lindero Drive. In 2003, someone randomly showed up at the office at TO. He said, hi. I was told that I'd be famous later for whatever reason. And blah, 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 and stop by for, to talk to you or to say hello and for you to remember me. And she says, I never had an office, which is probably very true. But nonetheless, I remember specifically. I said, well, have you ever had an office in Calabasas? It was known that you were in Calabasas and it's known today that you are. And you were then, too. Back then, and she says, no, never had an office. And I said, now I understand that, you know, YouTube things, everybody does everything out of the house and wouldn't really expect anything that anyone to really have an office, especially starting out. But nonetheless, you had a potted plant, a plastic one with a ceramic bottom, and, you set it on the, file cabinets that were very short file cabinets, about maybe 3 feet high off the ground. Up against the partition wall in the back of the office. Because that's very odd. And so we got to talking, and she said that she didn't, and that's all good and fine. Maybe I'm just tripping out, whatever. But anyways, during that conversation, she said that she didn't believe me and Andrew Bishago's story. And I told her, you know, that's all fine and good, you know, but I just absolutely insist and request or, you know, insist that she stick with that. If she's going to take that stance, then she stick with that stance. And then she went on to saying that she might want to interview me. And I said, I don't want to interview with anyone who doesn't at least suspect that our story is true or at least have... consider it. It could possibly be very, you know, it could be possible, possibly true. So that's my venom for the day, and for the month, and that's basically what that is.
It's been your time of the month I'm glad it's all kind of consolidated and nugget worthy, and people can can investigate this position for themselves as well.
Yeah, and for me, I need to, you know, probably drink some pregnant horse urine in the form of milk, honestly.
Is that for like the estrogen to balance out all your testosterone?
Yeah. That was a Midol joke for all those people out there. That's actually how they make Midol, by the way. They extract the hormone out of horse urine, out of pregnant horse urine.
Midol?
Midol.
Sorry.
People menstruating.
All right.
Midol.
Sorry, I don't get it because we don't have the same products over here.
No, so, I know. That's an American joke.
Yeah, it is an American joke. So strictly for a west of the Atlantic audience.
Yeah. For the queen or something, you know, take some time off and dig 10 children out from underneath the queen's bed.
from this week's bin. Too early. I don't know.
Everyone visit Alfred Lamont Weber's Exopolitics on Facebook and Exopolitics Israel. And visit ProjectPegasus.net and ProjectMars.net in relation to Andrew Bishago. Mm. People that want to get up to date on the time travel teleportation intel, that's where you go. You can also look me up, William Stillings, on Facebook. Just type in William the Troll Stillings, and I should come up.
Hey, you've got a very special friend, haven't you?
Yes, a lot of good.
You got lots of very special friends, but you were talking about one very special friend who is like
Sam.
He's like the rock star of science as well. It's like one of the rock stars of science. It's like the lead guitarist of science, of leading cutting edge, absolute. This man turns metals into liquids. He makes them float in the air, bob around, then turn liquid. He boils them at room temperature. He is master of frequency, and his name is Hutchison, not Hutchinson, but Hutchison, isn't it?
John Hutchison, yes.
Ah.
An incredible, incredible gifted person. He makes people at MIT and CIT and ITT look like they're still in lawn chairs.
You know, he is.
He is phenomenal. He has given the very specific example of energy to mass events, scalar electromagnetic waves tied to a time domain. Examples reducing showing that, like with the World Trade Center, that the electromagnetic wave becoming a field, energy to mass, no two things occupy the same space at the same time, energy becoming mass inside of mass, lower energy value, World Trade Center steel loses. What happened with the World Trade Center through the Hutchison effect and the understanding of it is that basically the iron, just like using flash guns or iron loss device, all the iron in the World Trade Center steel disappeared. What was left over were the even-numbered elements in that steel, carbon, the chromium, and the nickel, element 28, element 24, element 6. And that was, carbon is in between about 0.5% to 1%, chromium is about 1.2%. The nickel's about 3.5% to 7%. The definition between steel and stainless steel is 7% nickel. So 7% for steel is 14% total for stainless steel. Vanadium and other stuff. But what people saw were the even numbered elements. Just as to give an example, that the that was the powder that was left over, just as that, say, people that were wearing cheap gold or had mercury amalgamated gold implants or fillings, which is why the flames were bursting out of people's mouths in the lobby of the World Trade Center, their jewelry fire. That's why their bodies bursted into flames at different spots on their body, around the neck, around the arms, out of the mouth. Is it all making sense, people?
That is. So that's not a nice way to go. So it. What part of the human body disintegrates? Do we lose?
Well, it doesn't. It didn't. What people had problems was the jewelry that they're wearing burst into flames. If it was all gold, it would have been fine. But it had some nickel in it, some tin, some, alloyed with. Mercury element 80 is a rotor oscillator. One thing about teleporting, when I teleported long distance, is that my fillings would shake in my teeth. When you teleport, your teeth will rattle, so you keep your mouth shut.
Wow.
They don't tell you this because you're not supposed to know. But, One of the things that I very notably noticed is that I went to the dentist, I think in the 82 trip, and had a filling put in, and the filling was so big that even though I kept my mouth closed, my teeth were still rattling. So I actually pinched off my nose.
It sounded like maracas inside your mouth?
Well, it'll vibrate. Uh-huh. And when I ducked my chin into my chest is actually when it stopped, when I did that. And then I just, okay.
My teeth feel like a pair of maracas.
JP, I think you're goofing on me.
I'm goofing. Sorry, I goofed out. Sorry, you're being serious. Sorry.
No. That's just what happens. I mean, the fillings will vibrate.
That's mental. I'm just thinking, God, if I was good, so does that mean, I wear spectacles?
Well, I mean, it's very much in tune to, just as when I reported, that when you take a bottle of water with you, even though you've never opened up the bottle before, after teleporting, long distance, a quarter of that bottle of the water will be gone. It makes it easier. It's a sacrificial, nice way of making the trip easier on you, and also having water, because you get very thirsty right after teleporting. The water is leveled down to a very common point of physics, and when you teleport, water is just as inductively drawn out of your body as, say, electrons out of
like osmosis.
Yeah, I mean,
because in the medium that you're in has a certain level of water. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
and because water finds its own level, when it's dispersed like that, it finds a certain level.
Yeah, and kind of the same reflection as the planets revolve around the sun, as the electrons lump around the nucleus. Very good example, actually, would be that hydrogen is an oscillator, element number one. It doesn't have an electron, and it borrows an electron from the oxygen. The oxygen atom oscillates at 19.5 degrees. And produces, and hydrogen is really good, which is why it was in pyramids with scarab beetles. Scarab beetles and bees don't fly, they levitate. They produce a gravity and they levitate like a round vehicle. They produce a certain tone and it oscillates a gravity out of their exoskeleton. And, but very much in the same way is that getting a gravity, which is inherent in all matter, gravity has a propensity to extend towards the electron shell. And the electron shell half spin is good for bending a gravity inherently. And which is why me and my father were always saying that they would never get, my father was mostly saying, I caught on later on, but my father was saying that computers will never get past the 4 gigahertz because the electron starts incurring gravimetric effects and starts doing kind of weird things up at that frequency. So that's the reason why there's multiprocessors in computers now, is because they can't get past the 4 gig thing because the electron does goofy things.
The only way is sideways. You can't go up anymore. Until you go to a different medium?
Electrons are half spin. They don't turn 90 degrees. They do 245 turns, 245 degrees. You see? Electrons will not turn 90 degrees.
No,
they don't. And, it just gives a little good example of certain things, but the gravity inherent in the hydrogen has a higher propensity to extend out past the electron shell on that borrowed electron shell and that loaned that oxygen atom. And oxygen, you know, at 19.5 degrees, yeah, or whatever subtracted 360 is good for oscillating that gravity out. And that's why the Luke Skywalker land speeder would actually be a three-sided tubular pyramid in the 1-2-6 design, like the crop circle. And you would just oscillate, you use a magnetron or a microwave and a chiron to oscillate that water to produce gravity, and that would the emitter assembly would be the copper, the oscillator element 29. And that would give you your Luke Skywalker's land speeder where it would hover really good above the ground. You know, if, 800 watts would do phenomenal. You stand on it with a couple cement bags.
This is the kind of machine that Tesla was messing about with?
Well, yeah, more or less, and very much so. The magic in the Tesla coils was actually when the Tesla coils were turned off. They were a free energy receiver. The disinfo of the day was throwing sparks out of them.
Energy of the vortex spinning around, being caught by the. So the Tesla coil had to be in a particular place.
Actually, it kind of helps a little bit
because it would use the energy of the vortexes on the land.
Yeah. There's a three-dimensional sine wave going through the Earth, and there's the five points, hot points. You know, example, you say off the coast of California, the Bermuda Triangle, a couple places in Russia, actually, off the coast of Japan and Australia. But, you know, there's actually six, seven points, but there's it goes up a little bit. But there's hot points. I mean, the Earth is a gravity generator receiver. Inductively, we're heated up by the sun inductively. I mean, it's translating the energies through the sun. As Brooks Agnew very, very notably remarks, the Earth is hollow. He is on a search for hollow Earth. And everybody, please go to Brooks Agnew's site. Oh boy, and I don't have it.
It's all right. They can Google Brooks Agnew. BrooksAgnew. We support the Hollow Earth here.
Jason Verbelli, who did not call me back. You're on sanctions for 3 hours and 20 minutes. We will, of course, be talking to you. And no, I will not send you the humping gerbil video if you don't call me. It's just humor. Doesn't get it.
No. So. Well, look. So we're about half an hour away from the end of the show. Do you have a message for humanity? You know, well, really, because you know, honestly, you're part of this mythical breakaway civilization, aren't you?
Yeah, well,
but they've kind of kicked you into the gutter. It seems they seem to do that a lot, don't they?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I've had a beautiful life. My father is completely incredible, you know, and it's a horrible push and pull against, you know. We made the decision for people to go forward. But, you know, people all, you know, have a right to know that the planet Mars is the, you know, 51st or 57th state of the United States. I mean, that's going to be socially laundered on, as Israel, or through Israel, you know, Israel incorporated into the United States as, a state of the United States, the state of Israel. What is the state of Israel? A state of the United States. We'll have a right to know. I mean, we were I've done time traveling. I've teleported quite a bit. I've teleported a lot of places in Europe, Sweden, Australia. Australia was kind of a setup, but I kind of knew that at the time, told Andy about that in 2010. Talked to him about that. Talked to a lot of people, wrote it down, blogged it. there's a lot of prime movers out there as to cause and effect, as to why the wheels turn. What paid for the teleportation program and the Mars colonization program? That's called cocaine and light bulbs. As in the phrase, like, you wouldn't believe why they're selling, you know, why the CIA sells the cocaine. You know, why the whole drug industry is. It was to pay for the teleportation programs. You know, even though the teleporters are basically over unity devices, and just powered somewhat, you know, for teleporting, for safety's sake, you know, they had to be hardwired. You know, it was $100 a pop in electricity to go to Mars, if not more so. And, that's a lot of people on Mars. You know, people wouldn't believe that there's, you know, that 5 foot, 6 foot tall humanoids is not the standard. There are 1/2 foot tall, 8 inch tall, 30 foot tall, 50 foot tall. Humanoids that look exactly like us, you know, wearing robes or even trousers or clothes or whatever on Mars. Andrew Bishago is a prime example of showing that evidence. The striding gremlin, a 28 foot tall humanoid carrying somebody in a couple armament back to a vehicle higher up in the picture. 5-6 foot is not the standard. The spiritual consciousness of people is the same value whether 5 inches tall or whether 30 foot tall. The spiritual layer that surrounds the planets, all 7 of them, are artificially kept in place on Mars because Mars is a fractured planet via wars. Mars very much. And when I was teleporting to Mars, Mars has an odor to it. It kind of smells. It actually has a kind of a rotten oceanic smell, very mild but very uniform, and also very, and people will goof on this, very much smells like women's fake nails set on fire with a flame blown out and an aroma of unburned diesel fuel number two thrown in. No joke.
Hang on, I'm just trying to assemble that aromatic miasm there.
Yeah. Mars has...
So it's kind of solventy, like all the mixture of, it's like crude oil almost. Is it?
Yeah,
not as heavy as crude oil. Yeah.
Mars. When you're on Mars, you know, the sky looks a lot darker when you look straight up at noon than on Earth, and the horizon's closer. Mars very much has a breathable atmosphere. It's like being at 12,000 foot altitude with a 14,000 out. But altitude oxygen level.
Hence they're That's being really able to parachute. Hence they're being able to parachute down a spacecraft weighing several tons.
That's right. You're going to get me going. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Like, people, if there was not an atmosphere on Mars, a parachute the size of the United States would not slow a half ton, one ton lander down an 8 millibar out of 1,000 millibar, 1,000 millibar being 1 bar equal to 1 Earth atmosphere, or the equivalent of 14.7 psi. 8 millibar out of 1,000 millibar is probably, in fact, good enough to electrostatically plate aluminum onto plastic without using cryogenics to freeze the moisture out. Mars does have water on Mars. There is massive predatorial life on Mars. One of the things that we were taught in the Mars colonization program, taught by the multiversal dimensional renowned reviewer Ed Dames, Andrew's laughing, is that when you get to Mars, you take inventory and look around as to what's around you. You know, if there's something, you know, off of the distance that... you know, there's things on Mars that could be a mile and a half, 2 miles off. If you had 500 feet to run, you'd lose. You know, this thing has 12-foot, 13-foot tall legs, and can do, you know, would be the equivalent of doing better than 70 to 80 miles an hour.
Well, it can cover some ground, eh?
It can cover some ground.
What's his teeth and claws like?
It actually very much looks like a dinosaur, but just kind of a goofy, kind of elongated kind of one. One of the goofy things, you know, there's a lot of genetic modifying things about, you know, the things are done in the sense that to keep, you know, spiritually, is to keep the spiritual layer around the planet. So beings are modified, creatures are modified to be able to incorporate the lack of food and to sustain that spiritual bands around the planet. When you get to Mars, you notice that you're inductively heated heated from within, tuned very much the same on Earth. You just don't notice it. You're just not heated externally by the sun. You're also, you know, when you're a kid, you put your hand out in the sun, you notice your hand's getting a little warm in the back too. And that there's a difference in that. There's a difference there. When you get to Mars, you're also most of the time you're disconnected from the consciousness of Earth. There are times in that cycle where the planets are close enough. But when you get to Mars, you're disconnected consciously from the Earth consciousness, and you notice that when you teleport. When you teleport, you're completely sealed off from all light and sound from the outside anyways. But when you're on Mars, you definitely notice it.
Is there a kind of background sound? What's the like acoustic atmosphere of it like?
Nothing. It's kind of you can hear everything around you. You can hear it. If the person in front of you has to go to the bathroom, you can hear it. You can feel it. You can hear their thoughts. You can communicate very well. Hold on. You know, certain words won't translate, negative ones won't, of course. If I said, I know, I'm trying to come up with something.
And I'll give you a couple of seconds. I'll just say something. Yeah. So I'll give you a couple of seconds to come up with a couple of ideas.
If I said that Prince Philip was actually normal and just thought it, somebody would probably hear it. You know, wouldn't believe it, but... I'm going to get so much stronger.
So listen, I got a question for you. This little creature that they have been examining the skeleton of in this movie, Sirius.
Oh.
Can you comment on, is that the same little fellow that you were talking about getting shoes for?
No. That's quite a bit smaller. That bean is probably about 8 or 9 years old. Fossilized. I think the creature's a little newer than that.
No, it wasn't fossilized. It wasn't fossilized. It did seem skin good, though.
Yeah. That's a hybrid variation of ones that used to, monitor people and help people in their daily routine that have been. More specialized, so I mean that's a genetic creation, DNA. I don't think it'll show old because that genetic line was from around 1998. Is not that old of a genetic modified. So I'd be interested in the whole forensics of the carbon dating, or there isn't gonna be any, but. Mm.
Well, they said they reckon it was about 100 years old. It was from 100 years ago, but it was a child. But still, 6 inches tall is a little small
for a regular baby. Yeah, different species.
All right, different species to the ones you're talking about on Mars. So yeah, when you're talking about the ones on Mars,
just hypothesizing here.
Yeah,
Stephen Greer. Let me just say that Stephen Greer is freaking great. Absolutely love him. He's great. Everybody go to his site too. Stephen Greer, excellent person.
I think it's worldpuja.com or something. I get there.
Yeah, I'm not very prepared today. I'm having problems. I'm a dork.
Oh, bless your heart. We love you, though. We know, and dorkishness is sometimes it's an attractive quality. We were talking about.
I cry out for small donations, like $1 to $5?
Yeah, you can cry out for cups of coffee. People,
awesome.
Send this man cups of coffee. How do they send you a cup of coffee? That you can buy a Starbucks token.
Would be great. To williamstillings at gmail.com on PayPal. Williamstillings, STILLINGS at gmail.com. That'd be great. Anybody out there, that'd be just freaking phenomenal. And I'll send photoshopped edited
no.
No, all right, got that. I promise I won't send.
Yeah, that's right. He won't send you evil things if you send him cups of coffee. Bless her. Okay, I mean, there's so many things that I love to hear you talk about. And every time you say it, it gets a little bit clearer. For me, at least. You know?
Good. I mean, people will understand that the aspect of teleporting, say, neutrons into a reactor over in Japan, you know, that they can process or get an idea of, that's a pretty neat trick, too. I mean, it really is. But, this would give possibly an explanation to to those in the field is, you know, this was a warning from the United States government, or from governments, I should say. I have to retract the United States government. That statement about the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. That government's warning that reactors had to go offline during the 2012 period, because very simply and innocently, is that reactors become unpredictable during the 2012 period, that the multiple sine wave crunch, that the energies on the 12-phase motor, that there's a dead spot on that motor whenever you start up a gravity generator like a John Searle SEG type of quantum state 3412 or quantum state 1234 design, is that eventually all those rollers will line up exactly how it was when it first started, and that would be a dead spot on the motor. That is the same galactic motor that we're on. It basically is a multitude of different types of generators, but you get the idea. That the reactors become unpredictable, and that was the urgent message, is to get reactors to be taken offline during the 2012 period. And you might look at the Fukushima disaster as a warning. Now the aspect of teleportation, or teleporting neutrons into a reactor, would also give credence to why reactor number 4 had blown up, even though that it didn't have even half the rods to have it running that were in the storage pool below, the water below in the reactor, that most of the rods weren't even in place in the reactor to be functioning as a reactor. It might give credence as to why it heated up and went. If people out there who have researched it could get an idea to catch on to that. There's been a little bit more research, but I get conflicting information. I think the public gets a little conflicting information as to what went off and what didn't. And a lot of media downplay has taken place. But nonetheless, being the helicopter off in the distance, I would have to say that my internet will be probably going off sometime in the next week. Being that I'm poor, it will more than likely go off. I've already been having Blog Talk issues, to where even from three different persons' phones, I can't call in. I was going to do a memorial tribute to Willie McCool and all those people who served in the industry, like my father, Tom Stillings, myself, and a lot of people, veterans, you know. Yes, some have passed, a lot have passed on. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of trying to shield myself a little bit. So, I mean, it's not Veterans Day, but give me a break, people. But I couldn't even do that because Blog Talk sucks. FCC regulation ass. Sorry, tippy. I didn't say that.
Can you not say ass? All right. Well, see, you can say ass.
Arse. Can we get on? Let's get on some real questions. Real questions you think the public would ask in relation to technology.
Oh, wow. Well, the first thing is it possible that you know how you had a teleport machine that you ran into the wall and you ended up somewhere else, right? Uh-huh. Like Basiago was going from a teleport machine to nowhere, right, and dropping in the middle of nowhere. Is it possible to take someone from nowhere and bring them back to a place?
You'd have to specify.
I'm sorry, you disappeared there.
You would have to specify the question.
Is there a reverse form of this thing where you can...
I don't understand the question. Somebody teleporting forward or teleporting... teleporting is teleporting is in reference to where you're at or local.
Yeah. Is it possible to form a portal that comes backwards into the machine?
You would have to find that. There's no need to do that. I mean, you go forward, you arrive at your destination.
Yeah.
honestly, it's all pretty straightforward.
Yeah. See, what I'm thinking is, like, you know, beam me up, right?
No.
Can you beam someone up?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The depiction in Star Trek depicts it backwards, and something that would not work. When teleporting, nothing is broken down. If it's living and something is broken down like that, mm-hmm. it would die, simply.
Right.
Everything is a wave. Everything is sustaining. All matter is a wave. It's just converted more into a wave for teleporting. To give an example, just like the electrons around the nucleus as the planets around the sun, I forgot where I was.
Well, actually, this,
where was I?
Let me segue. Let me segue into a question.
Just bring me back.
Okay. All right.
It's the question.
Things around the sun.
Nothing's broken down. That it's all a wave.
Like
if you had a round vehicle or a disc UFO, and we're traversing distance in space, you know, flying flat bottom wise in the direction you wanted to go. You know, if you wanted to do it more safely and more efficiently, you would convert the craft into a higher energy state, and that would put it into a more massless state of travel. The vehicle would become more massless and translucent or invisible via different means. It would become transparent, and it would be traveling or traversing in a massless state, where rocks would go either around it or through it. You know, you'd be traveling in a safer, more massless state, less energy used to travel. It takes a lot of energy to put you into that higher energy state, but overall, I mean, if you're in a more massless state like that, the energy built, the energy content in a book of matches would make you go faster than light. If you understand that.
Yeah. So it's like if you're in a balloon, you just need it to blow in a direction and you go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So
it's very the next level up of, you know, and there's energy crisis coming up that will be the next definition of level examples as to fossil fuels, is that there will be an energy domain crisis where it'll, you know, just like with the teleporters. And they run a lot cleaner when you do, when you evolve in the technology, is that if you return some energy back to a time domain and make it congenial for a time domain, the device runs cleaner and more congenial. So it takes a lot more energy to do that, and it's a lot more expensive, but it's considerate to nature and to creation. And that's the next evolution step to Revolution Radio.
Hey Will, can you do this? This is Revolution Radio.
This is Revolution Radio. We'll be right back.
There you go, Mike. You can clip that one out.
I got to practice. I'm not there for it. The wannabe George Norrie is having a day off, which I have to say that Howard Stern is the daytime of George Norrie. to give proper consideration, George Norrie, he's awesome. Who needs to call me? In fact, you know who also hasn't called? Lisa Lyons has not called me back. She's been so good about talking to me when I call. When I call, she knows who it is, and she picks up the phone, and she takes a very proper political and proper stance. Very businesslike, very professional, very friendly, very cordial, very congenial. Carrie Cassidy has done the same, although I don't agree with her political views, obviously, and she is absolutely in the wrong, and especially when she's talked to astronauts and everybody, pretty much she's talked to everyone. There's no reason why she shouldn't, you know, she holds a round table at teleportation. Well, she believes teleportation? Do you not? Well, you can't be flippant, you know, you can't believe it with them and then not believe it with us, especially when our evidence is stronger by far.
Well, you know what impresses me is your story does not change. It's very matter of fact, and you can drill down into it. No matter which way you cut it, it's like it's if you have to listen to it. You have to, because, like I say, you're involved in what has been called the breakaway civilization. Yeah. People have been using this technology for 50 years. You know, since you and I were kids, they've had round vehicles that traverse the sky in a massless state. And we
most of them. I guess they can do that. They do that now. As that takes a lot, but consideration. But typically, they don't do that like that. They're bending the light. But you know, I can't say that there aren't some craft that don't do that. But it typically wouldn't be in a massless state near Earth. I mean, you have radiations and stuff, which is why Fukushima was done in the first place, because the radiation would actually betray round vehicle technology and gravity generators and the effect, and round vehicles would become more visible. Fukushima was done and sold to multiple departments, countries, and agencies and whatever, for the reason of keeping round vehicles away. Some were do it and sold, and that was sold to other people to create medical problems that the medical industry could fail at correcting. It's done for a lot of reasons, and in fact, so much so that I'm frankly just not going to go into it. In fact, it's beyond disturbing, and I'm really sugarcoating it. Honestly,
yeah.
If you want proof,
yeah, exactly. As they say, the rabbit hole goes deep and it gets dark.
And it gets sideways, and it gets teleported out to another location without you knowing it, and then.
Yeah. So listen, we got a couple of minutes left. Do you have your own website where you blog and thing, or do you just use your Facebook page?
Well. I just use my Facebook page, not to push the issue, but I'm too poor to have a site. I'm too poor to have a phone, which is why I don't have a telephone. People, what's your phone number? Well, it was 951-551-0711.
Oh, that was a good number.
Yeah, it was a beautiful number, especially when a beautiful, wonderful people. 7-Eleven owner John gave me the phone, bought it for me, and you know, I still gotta get things up there too. But no, I don't have a phone. I don't have a website. The website, the most valid,
reliable.
Reliable, honest website is projectpegasus.net, projectmars.net, and that's run by Andrew Bashago. He also has
Mars. He's got internet.
He's
got internet, and he's got Skype as well, and he's a lovely guy. Fantastic memory. You guys have all got amazing memories, such clarity and detail, and
we have them. Lot of amazing
superb guys.
Things that haven't even been shown or outside of group or come forward yet. Actually, one thing was actually put forward and retracted real quick, and I'm surprised that very few people have been good of not bringing it up, which is pretty damn impressive.
All right. Farsight Institute, Courtney Brown on Studio A at Revolution Radio in just a moment. Thank you very much, William Stillings. God bless you, my friend. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is Wolf Spirit Radio.